He is my reason for living, for He is my everything. I remember my bad days of darkness, without sunshine or light to lead my way. Then a whisper of His voice softly calling to the arms of my Maker, I'll say, He is my reason for living. He is the King of all kings. I long to be His possession. He is my everything. After the lightning and thunder, after the last bell has rung, I want to bow down before Jesus and hear Him say, well done. He is my reason for living. He is the King of all kings. I long to be His possession. To be His possession, He is my everything.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. It is fantastic to be with God's people tonight. It is wonderful to be worshiping our Lord. We're going to open with a little bit of scripture. If you have a Bible and would like to read along, it's church. You should have a Bible with you. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 84, and I'm just going to read the first four verses. So if you want to follow along, I'm in the New King James Version. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 84 right from the beginning. And it goes, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Every sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah." Let's open in prayer. Father God, Almighty Heavenly Lord of hosts, I thank you that you are our Lord, that you have called us to be your own. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought us all through a week of troubles and trials and whatever we've all been dealing with this week. I know everybody's been dealing with a different kind of thing, but you've brought us all here tonight, Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you that we can gather here in safety and in warmth and in comfort. I thank you, Lord, that we have a man of God to preach the word for us tonight. I thank you for Pastor Ken. I pray you'd bless him tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd have your hand on every one of us as we worship you, as we gather together, as we bless one another in the name of our Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts and minds to you tonight, that we would get more of you. We cry out for more of you, Lord, and we pray that tonight we would get more of you, that your Spirit would would work in each of our hearts and minds, Lord, to bring us closer to you and to better conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus. We pray these things for your glory, Father. Amen.
So I'm going to start up where I finished off last week on John chapter 1, verse 12. And I'm going to refresh your memory on that verse, and then we're going to go into the message that the Lord laid on my heart for tonight. So last week, John chapter 1, verse 12, we finished on this verse. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. So what Jesus is saying, that when you believe in Jesus, he gives you the right to be called the children of God. So if you're here tonight and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a God-given right to be called his child. Just as we're born into a family and we carry that family name. Sometimes maybe there's some of us that maybe weren't born into a family per se. Maybe we were adopted, or maybe the family that we were born into, there was a lot of abuse. But the fact remains that we do all have a family name. We were all born at one time, right? Yep. I think you all came in this world. You were born. And none of you were brought in by a stork or anything like that. You were born into this world. So we're going to look at now the meat of the message. We're going to go to Luke 23 tonight. I'm preaching out of the New King James tonight. So we're going to Luke 23. Now we're going to kind of jump right into the middle here. Jesus has been crucified. They abused him all night long. They beat him up to the point where he couldn't even carry his own cross. But we're going to pick up now, he is on the cross. So I want you to stay with me on this. So we're going to pick up on Luke 23, verse 32. Which reads, or 23, verse 32, sorry. Pick up on it now, 2032. Here we go. Now there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they'd come to the place called Calvary, where they crucified him, and the criminals were on the right and on the left. I knew my hat was going to go that way. I saw it go. You saw it go? That thing is a heavy hat. Like, whoa. So here Jesus on the cross between two criminals. Now, understand the word Calvary is actually a Latin word taken from the word skull. In Hebrew, it's called Golgotha. So you've heard of the skull. You've heard of Golgotha. You've heard of Calvary. So it just depends on what language you're speaking to give that identity. But when you go to Jerusalem today, you actually can go to the skull. It's there. You see it right on the hill. You look at it and say, yep, that's the skull. So that evidence is still there today. It's not some makeup story. It's real. We find Jesus between two criminals. Verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I want to stop there just for a moment. If you're sitting here tonight and you're carrying unforgiveness to someone, and you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I pray the Lord will convict your heart to forgive that person that hurt you. Because if Jesus could say, I forgive you, for you do not know what you do, It really spoke to me last Sunday watching the celebration of life for Charlie Kirk. It was the largest gathering that's ever been held in the United States. There's between 200,000 and 300,000 there at the stadium, and it was watched all over the world by millions. But Erica, his wife, said during her talk, she said, "I forgive the man that shot my husband." Do you know what that takes for a grieving person who just lost their mate? To say, "I forgive you." I don't think you can do that in your own strength. And there isn't one of us in this place that hasn't been hurt at one time or another by someone. By someone. And right now, as you walk the corridors of your mind, make sure that you're not carrying that unforgiveness. I've been reminded, in my hand here, I've got a broken off piece of lead off a lead pencil. And when I was about in grade 1 or 2, I was resting my hand on a lead pencil, which was a dumb thing to do, but it was pointed up. And another kid went by and went, smack. Psh. That piece of lead went into this hand, and it's still there. The fact is, it does not give me any pain. It can be there. What happened to you is real. But when you've forgiven, there's no more pain. There's no more cloud over your head on a sunny day. You are free when you forgive that person. That's when you know you're free. When you can say, "I forgive you," and there's no more pain. And here Jesus is on the cross. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Verse 35, "And the people stood looking on, and even the rulers with him sneered them. He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." Why is it always, there's always the mockers in the crowd? Why is there always people that enjoy seeing you in pain? What is it about people? Why is we as humans enjoy seeing someone else in pain? Why is that? You know what? It's a hard heart is what it is. No love. Moses said to the Israelites, "You bunch of stiff-necked people." And we're still stiff-necked. Forgive. Forgive. We can continue on. Verse 36. And now we pick up on the soldiers. They've got something to say too. "The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.'" He was mocked by the leadership, the religious crowd of the day. And then he was also mocked by the secular world, the pagans. Romans didn't believe there was a God. The emperor was the God. They didn't believe in a God. They mocked Jesus. In verse 38, "An inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. 'This is the King of the Jews.'" This hat's going wild. I'm going to park him up here. That's all right. Oh, upside down. You got a plan like that? I don't know. I'm not a cowboy. Is it going to make me into cowboys? "He is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals, here it is. Then one of the criminals were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." Blasphemed. Cursed. You know what it says in the Bible, in the end days, out of men's mouths will come nothing but cursing. We're living in a time that, I don't know, what happened to the English language? Come on, work with me here. You know what I'm saying? What happened to the English language? Where we live, we're across from an LRT station. And when we have our patio doors open, I'm saying, my word. Does anyone know how to speak English? The one criminal cursed Jesus, blasphemed him. He's blaspheming the Son of God. You know, if you want to use certain swear words around me, which they... You can't live in this world without having that around you. But when it comes to using the name of Jesus, that's where I get off. That's enough. I am not listening to you use the name of my Lord as a swear word. I am not. That is where we get off here. If you want to be limited on your English language, go ahead. But when it comes to Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my King, you're not going to use it in front of me. And if you want to deck me, go ahead. Take on a senior. I'll tell you, I'll put my wife on you. You'll wish you wouldn't have. Sorry. Isn't it good to laugh, though? God gave us laughter from it just, we need that release. To laugh and tears. God gave us tears for a reason. In tears, you can laugh, there's tears, and in grieving, there's tears. There's a reason God gave us tears. And I pray that you'll use them both ways. And one of the criminals blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Here it is. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" It's surprising when you get close to the cross what you're going to hear. The conversation that is taking place close to the cross. And in your life, when you get close to that cross, something's going to change inside of you. It just does. When you get close to the cross. Verse 41, "And we indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. For this man has done nothing wrong." Now this is 9 words, and I pray that you'll write it on your forehead so your neighbor can see it. 9 words. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." 9 words. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Over the years, many times I've had an opportunity to pray with someone that was preparing to die and they didn't know Jesus. It's an amazing thing to see the turmoil that they're in. They have no peace. I mean, you take that little hand, little withered hand. And many times they're at that point they can't even say the words. They're so weak. And just repeat the words after me in your mind. if you pray that prayer of inviting Jesus into your heart, and Lord, I repent of my sins. And all of a sudden, their countenance changes. It's the greatest miracle you'll ever see. There's peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's a peace that this world desperately needs, but they do not know it. In our lives, in the turmoil of the world around us these days, I went with a friend this week for coffee, and I said, it just, is the place gone crazy? Like it's this, it's that, it's here, it's there. It's like, what is going on? But in the eye of the storm, there's that peace that only Jesus can give you. That peace that passes all understanding. And here it is. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow, that's cutting it close. Where did he say he was going? He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, no, you're going to be in a holding place for a little while, and we'll put some money in the kitty, and maybe we'll get you out of there. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Not just nod. Give your neighbor an elbow, wake him up. There is no holding place. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Just like that. I want to tell you a story. This man, his job was to raise and lower one of the great drawbridges in London. And when he'd raise that great drawbridge, the ships would pass through. And when he'd lower that drawbridge, the train would pass over. And this particular day, he took his only son with him to work. And as the day went by and he looked at his watch, he realized that within moments he would have to lower that great drawbridge because many people would be on their way home from work and that train would pass. And as he looked around and he looked for his only son, he saw his son playing way down below him among the great cables that held up that bridge. And he knew within an instant if he were to lower that bridge, it would be the death of his only son. And as he could hear the train coming and as he could see his only son way down below him, he reached for the controls of that great bridge. And he lowered. The train went in front of him and people were smiling and waving and going on their way, not realizing at the cost of the man's only son. Do we understand the cost? Do we really, really understand the cost? Jesus came down from heaven and came down on this ungodly place called earth and walked among us. And what did we do to him? We killed him. Our sins put him on that cross. I just have to stop there for a moment. And I want you to think about that just for a moment. This isn't to beat you up or. But I want you to think about the cost. And you can sit here tonight and you can say, Jesus, thank you. By the heaven, loving Heavenly Father, you gave everything that I might have life. But I've got good news. Jesus didn't stay in that grave. If Jesus still is in the grave, we're all in trouble. Just get up, let's go home, or let's go over and eat pumpkin pie. No point of this. If Jesus is still in that grave. You know, many times I go into buildings and I see a cross, and they have Jesus still on the cross. If he's still on the cross, we're in trouble. Understand? Jesus came off that cross. They buried him. They put him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he came up out of that tomb. And so we're going to pick up on that now in Luke 24. Luke 24, starting on verse 38. And Jesus now is revealing himself to his disciples after he rose from the dead. 24, verse 38. And he said to them, that's Jesus, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Here it is, verse 39. Don't miss it. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still not believing, but while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Wow. Someday I'm going to have a body. Yep. I can still eat. I like food. In fact, the Bible says someday we're going to be at the banqueting table. Man. All the ice cream you can eat and popcorn. Nothing but junk food. No, when the Lord serves us at that banqueting table, I'll tell you. I have no idea what it'll be, but it's going to be the best food you have ever eaten. You name it, Grace, I'm telling you. They might even have some borscht there. I don't know. With sour cream. We should be excited about it. And you know who our waiter is going to be? Jesus. You know, if you down here can't get excited as a Christian, I tell you, you better take some rejoicing lessons because this is where we're going. So he gave them, they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. In 45, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. That's why we're here tonight. I have a responsibility of opening your mind to the scriptures. That your mind is open to see what's God saying to you tonight. You know, if I sent around and gave everybody a piece of paper and a pen, and I'd say, I want you to write down now what God said to you during this time together. Everyone would have a different story in here of what God said specifically to you. It could be you might have to forgive that husband or wife that hurt you so many years ago. It might have to be, might be that son or daughter that left your home under terrible circumstances and you haven't forgiven them. whatever that situation, we'd all have a different story of what God was saying to us at this very moment. And verse 47, start back at 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Jesus is speaking about himself. And that repentance and remission of our sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And 48, and you are witnesses of these things. In verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In preparing the message, I really liked what the New Living Translation has to say in this verse. Verse 49, it says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. For the next few weeks, we're going to look at who is the Holy Spirit. Who's Jesus talking about here? Like, what is that? Is it just kind of woo? What is that? What's the Holy Spirit? Is it kind of some ghost or some myth? What is it? We talk about who the Father is. We just talked the whole month about who is Jesus. And Jesus said, now the Holy Spirit's coming. Who is he? Have you met him? Have you met the Holy Spirit? Has he woken you up in the middle of the night and stirred you to pray for someone, some missionary in another country, for somebody in the hospital, some wayward son? Have you experienced the Holy Spirit? We sing that old chorus, come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thy own special way. Who is that? Well, come back next week and I'm going to introduce you to him. I want you to meet the Holy Spirit. I want you to meet him. And you bring your whole family, because they all need to meet him. Because if Jesus spoke about him and Jesus said, I must go that he will come, do you think that's important? I think so. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Every time I prepare to bring you the word, that's my number one prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Anoint my mind, my lips, my being, that the words I speak are the words you'd have me say. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power. You need that kind of power to make it in the world that we live in today. It's unfortunate. I mean, I think we've had, what, now 5 of our grandchildren go through university. I tell you, when they get done with you in there, what am I? Right now in our colleges and our universities, it's an ungodly place to be, I'm telling you. And if you go in, many go in as a strong Christian, but by the time they get done with some of the stuff that they'll teach you and you have to write an exam on it. I remember where I was pastoring in another church, university student came to me and she had to write an exam on Harry Potter. Going, are you serious? That stuff's witchcraft. For those of you that want to get mad at me right now about that, go ahead. It's witchcraft. And was a part an exam, big mark. And she said, what do I do? And I said, well, go talk to your professor and see if he'll let you write on another subject. Because they'll fail me if I don't write a paper. So we prayed about it. She went and talked to her professor. And he said, yeah, I want you to pick the subject and you write the paper and I'll mark it. She passed. But see, we need to stand. If God is for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Stand on God's promises. Don't wuss out and say, oh, my woe. Don't. Jesus went to that cross and he stood for you and for me. And no utterance came out of his mouth. No complaining. All he said was, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. Stand up. What's the worst they can do to you? Come on. What's the worst they can do to me? Slap me around a little bit? No. I really don't know how to end this message. So I'm going to end it next week. Come back. I'm going to end it next week. Because I'm just starting for next week. So if you want to meet the Holy Spirit, come back next week. Can you do that? Whatever you had on your calendar for next Friday, take a black marker. Say, Cowboy Church, I'm coming. Lord, thank you for your provision for this day, for food. And Lord, for the hands that are prepared, I pray you'd bless the hands and bless this food to our body's use. In your precious name I pray. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. Bless you.
When I see the sunrise in the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children playing, I know it's all part of God's amazing grace. And I believe there's a place called heaven. I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man whose name is Jesus. I believe that he gave his life for me. I was there the day my mama went to to heaven. I held her hand as she closed her eyes to sleep. I felt the power of 10,000 angels take her soul away to be crowned at Jesus' feet. And I believe there's a place called heaven. I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man whose name is Jesus. And I believe that he gave his life for me. Oh, I believe that he gave his life for me.